obviously in breast cancer, it's a very much more commonly explored issue. And there, of course, again, the translational issues come to bear. What exactly are you looking at? What kind of chemo with the Bev are you using in your study?
For induction therapy, we have two trials. One is for patients who are less likely to have EGFR mutations, so those patients who maybe have more significant smoking history, and where those patients were giving docetaxel cisplatin with bevacizumab as our induction treatment. And then we have another trial for patients who are less than 15 pack year smokers. Again, both these studies are for patients who have 1B to 3A disease, and we're giving in that study, because of their minimal smoking history, we want to incorporate Tarceva into our treatment approach, and we're giving them Tarceva, and our chemotherapy choice for that induction trial is pemetrexed and cisplatin.
And then you're giving Bev on top of that, or just Tarceva?
No, that's just for the never minimal smokers. We're just giving the Tarceva.
Now, are you, in these patients going on the preoperative trials, are you able to get, for example, EGFR mutation studies done preoperatively on the biopsy?
We often, for patients who are on these preoperative trials, it's hard to do that because often there isn't sufficient material, or by the time we get it from an outside hospital and we get it analyzed, time has passed and you don't want to delay getting started with their treatment. So often we don't have that data until the surgical material is available, and then we typically, for all of our patients who undergo a resection for their lung cancer, we do reflex automatic testing for EGFR, KRAS, and ERCC1, all of our resected patients.
Now, in both of these studies, you continue the biologic, in one case erlotinib, and the other bevacizumab after surgery?
Right, 2 years for the erlotinib and 1 year for the bevacizumab.
And what have you seen on these two trials in terms of both efficacy and side effects?
I think that in general, as far as the Avastin, I think that what we do is we give 4 cycles of the taxotere and cisplatin chemotherapy, but we only give 3 cycles of the Avastin, so we omit the Avastin with the 4th cycle, so we leave a reasonable time frame between the last dose of bevacizumab and the time of the operation. And by and large, we've been seeing good results in terms of tumor regression and downstaging of patients, and we've also been able to do these operations safely without excess morbidity from the preoperative Avastin on board. The total trial size is about 70 patients, and we're about 45 patients into it.
And how about post-op? When do you start the Avastin again?
We typically start about 6 to 7 weeks after recover from the surgery.
What have you seen during that year on bevacizumab in terms of side effects, tolerability, hypertension, etc.?
It's really been very good. There's been very well tolerated. We've had really very manageable hypertension and no other excess side effects, and so in a long-term maintenance-type approach with the bevacizumab has been tolerated well in these patients.
Now, I know a key issue in this type of work is looking at the tissue. Any sort of unique things that you're looking at in terms of trying to look at correlations between efficacy?
I think that we're starting to broaden our approach in terms of our molecular analysis of tumors, samples that we receive in general, and in addition to EGFR and KRAS testing, we've broadened the range to test multiple different genes that may be involved in the tumor pathways. In particular, we've been looking at things like PI3 kinase and RAF kinase and a whole panel of genes that we've been looking at, about 30 genes, to see where other mutations may be present, and I think it's helping us to characterize patients' tumors better and also to potentially use that information for a more targeted approach as newer and better targeted therapies come online.